Open loops. Do, do. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Yes, this is a show that when you go to sleep at night, your conscious mind rests and your unconscious stays awake. This is a talk show for that part of your mind, the inner mind. Because what is an open loop exactly? Well, I'll get to that in a second. You see, an open loop is what I just did. It's an unconscious provocation. It's something that makes you want to go, tell me more. I need to know. What's the end of that thought? The cliffhanger, the dot, 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 the unexplained. This is a show all about topics that force you to go into a place where you just have to know more. Art, hypnosis, magic, spirituality, anything shamelessly fringe. It's a theme park for the intellect and imagination. And my goal as your cultural hypnotist and other than conscious thought leader, transformational entertainer, you can call me a looper. My goal, me, Greg Bornstein, your host, is to speak with you directly, as well as bring on guests that challenge your existing belief systems with radically unique ideas to stimulate your unconscious mind. So ultimately, you can step into the highest version of yourself. My guest today directly speaks to that. Age Nust. He is a paranormal researcher, former pilot, former hypnotist for a little bit, someone that claims he's time traveled and has photographic evidence of time travel. He has a book out, and where you'll see Age most, well, you'll see him all over the internet, because he is an on-air paranormal radio personality. And what a great personality he has. Broadcastteamalpha.com is his main page. That's where he's doing his show now with hypnotherapist Nori Love. And that show goes all over the place. Definitely, what I aspire to be like. I love these guys. I'm fascinated. I was telling Nagi before the interview, dude, how do you do this full time? How do you become a paranormal broadcaster? It's a dream. He's living it. It's awesome. He brings on all the UFO people, and he's had tons of government whistleblowers and people talking about the Anunnaki and all the kind of fringe, very fringe stuff that we live for on this show. Funny that the episode I released before this was all about how do you use sales, have the psychology of sales. And then this episode is, how do you live forever and train your brain to be like a quantum supercomputer? This is about the far edges of human potential. Augie says it's possible. And what do you know? He even predicts the future of our political landscape. Yeah, it gets a little conspiratorial in there, but what do you expect? It always is. Is it conspiracy? Is it conspira-fact? That's for you to decide. I really enjoyed this interview with Augie. It's if you've ever wanted to know the true process of how to reverse your aging, as well as the other possibilities of humans that they just don't tell you about for some reason. Well, this episode is going to do it. And if you think there's somebody in your life that could benefit from this, hey, make sure you share the Open Loops podcast. And if you hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, as well as rate the show and leave a review if you enjoy it, it definitely helps. Even a sentence. Greatly appreciate your listening. You are awesome for tuning in and entertaining the fringes of wildly unique thought. And Augie delivers on several levels. I'm so excited for this. Honored he came on. Enjoy. On Open Loops today, we have Augie Nust, who is a retired pilot that isn't probably more time than anybody else on everything outside of the box. He's a radio host. He's an author. I mean, we're going to go all over the place here. Everything from living in a matrix computer program, i.e. our entire existence, time travel, aliens, the origins of the entire universe, and even reversing the aging process. I'm excited to go into this. First of all, Augie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, you're so welcome. This is going to be so fun that it's probably illegal.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, everybody is selling anti-aging stuff. Everybody is, we hear it all the time. Oftentimes it's considered a scam, the marketing about it. The creams, people say the creams never work, and the plastic surgery doesn't make you look good. People that take that, they look terrible most of the time. And you are very committed to sharing with people, actually not even charging people for your knowledge. I've seen you just put it out there on the internet for free about how to reverse the aging process. First off, before you go into that, what does reversing the aging process even mean to you?
Well, it is, if you look at the words put together, reversing the aging process, we are actually nipping at the concept of immortality. And boy, oh boy, on that concept, where does the mind go? But actually, before I go into this one, I would recommend for everybody listening, get a piece of paper and a pen, because I'm only giving some information here that you may want to write down and look at and go research on your own. Of course, then again, you know, if you're 20 years old, 10 foot tall and bulletproof, then you don't really care about a lot of this. But I tell you, your parents will. So take your notes, get the knowledge, and tell your parents about it, and have them go to the website and do what I'm going to be talking about, because they are going to want to slow down the aging or even stop it and live a little longer. So for you 20 years old out there, that's what you should do.
Amazing. Anyway. Amazing. I think that's a great, great preamble. Yeah. Let's go in with the secrets of immortality.
Yeah. The thing about it is, excuse me, did you know that in 2009, three doctors got the Nobel Prize for discovering an enzyme that reverses the aging process, and nobody told us?
Yeah, why is nobody talking about that? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is that it's not just me saying that. Go to the Nobel Committee's website. Go to 2009. Scroll down to medical submissions and read the papers. You're going to love it. And the thing about it is, nobody told us about this. And this should have been the most extravagant medical news this millennia. But they didn't tell us.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Oh, it's kind of obvious, actually. In 1992, there was an Earth Population Summit, and the 192 countries, they decided that they needed to reduce the population of Earth to 800 million people by 2020, they revised that to 2030 now. But they are, the people that are taking the vaccines right now, they're going to be helping to do this. So that's why.
Oh, wow. You just threw a lot at that. That was, I think in three sentences, you summed up the entire conspiracy theory movement and mindset. Look, and not to say it is necessarily conspiracy theory, because that stuff is out there. There are agendas. Agenda 21, we keep hearing about. We keep, for years before it became popular, everybody was talking about the Bilderberg group and what they were deciding for the world's plans and stuff like that. But you really believe that this COVID right now, this thing we're going through, is a direct result of those early meetings with the world leaders in the early 90s?
Oh, I don't believe that. I know that. It's the difference between believing and knowing. When you have looked at the UN document called Agenda 21, and you read what's in it, it becomes obvious that this is not a conspiracy anymore. This is the fact, what they're doing. So because you think of it, the man that has been running around the world telling governments and people in power and influence around the world that the world is overpopulated, we need to reduce the population, he's the guy that's going to help to save your life with a vaccine, right?
you're talking about Mr. Microsoft?
Yeah.
What is, okay, this is, I know we're kind of veering off a little bit, but but I do love this stuff. This is good. You think, there's been the criticism that Bill Gates's father was very involved with eugenics.
He was the boss of it.
Why, how did Bill Gates get roped into this? Do you have insight into that?
The family, it's just
indoctrination. Eugenics passes down. Yeah, it's like an ideology, Christianity or, oh my gosh, Augie. Okay, so then the vaccine, what's going on with the vaccine?
Oh, this is, I think people need to do their own research and go to the World Health Organization and read what they say about it. They recommend a lot of things, but there's no science behind it. Do the same thing with the, other government agencies. Start studying itself. Go on YouTube and watch the videos by doctors that is explaining that there is no protection in using a mask. And there's no science behind it, but everybody's recommended to use one. I don't know if we should go into too deeply on this one. You
might. Right. No, this is okay. Well, keep doing your research with this. I've definitely had other people come on that have expressed similar perspectives on this. So here's my confusion then with regards to what happened in 2009. How do you think these scientists even were awarded the Nobel Prize if there is an agenda to suppress this kind of knowledge? How did it get that far?
Well, the thing about it is that the Nobel Prize is given in Norway, and it's a very independent group that looks at the science only. I grew up in Norway, so I know a little bit about those guys and the principles of what Mr. Nobel laid down. They are working on science only, and they can be blackmailed too to do certain things, but in this case they did the right thing. And I know that I looked at the science behind it, and I found that what they did, what they approved there, was exactly what it said in the papers. In fact, one place in the papers they talked about why it works this way. And I love to tell people how, by making sure we actually have enough of this enzyme in the body. The enzyme is called telomerase, or telomerase, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And it helps the body to help the cells to stay healthy by the chromosomes not being corrupted. And because the body is a self-correcting machine if you give it what it needs to correct itself. See, science know why we get older and older and older looking and then eventually die. There's only one cause for it. Now, there are many contributors to that one cause, but there is one cause for aging leading to death. And that is that the end of the chromosomes within your cells, they are called telomeres. They're kind of like the end of a shoelace, you know, that hardened part that helps you thread the shoelace to the hole on your shoes.
Yes.
These telomeres at the end of the chromosomes, they are every time that a cell replicates itself, those telomeres get a little bit shorter and shorter every time, shorter and shorter, till when you get up in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, and so on, the telomeres get so short that the chromosomes start fraying at the end because the telomeres are not able to hold them together. They start fraying and they are not able to replicate themselves, and you get stuck with old cells in the body and you get looking older and older and you eventually die. That is the reason. Now, the contributors to that, they are basically three major ones, except for if you smoke a lot, you know, you're going to reduce your lifespan with about 1 hour for every pack of cigarettes that you, you know, that's, they figured that out. But one of the reasons for the contributors to decreasing the length of the telomeres is one of them is nutrition. This is what they figured out when they did the genome project in the 1990s. And because if we give the body what it needs to replenish itself, it will do that. But we don't, because we think that we get all the nutrients in the food, and we don't. I have on my computer somewhere here in one of the files, I have a copy of a Senate document dating back to, I think it was 1931 or 32, which says the soil is totally depleted of minerals, so we need to supplement. Which, in other words, we know the body needs minerals, especially trace minerals. And we don't get it in the food. So if you don't have minerals, the body is going to be deficient, and you get all kinds of different ailments because of that. That's why we need to take minerals, and we need to take other supplements in order to help the food keep our body healthy. And there is another reason, and that is genetic. There is a genetic disorder that helps you grow older and die. And that, you know, you heard about gene therapy.
Yeah.
It's very expensive, and it can work if you do it right, but it's very expensive and involved. But the genetic disorder was laid down by the one that created the human body out of the Homo sapiens, some 270,000 years ago. You read the Sumerian tablets, you will know all about that. And some people call him God, which, that was the term they used back then.
I was going to say, is this a little bit of Anunnaki stuff creeping up in here?
Absolutely. They did that. But there are other reasons, and that ties into the genetics, and the genetic disorder that allows for one activated marker to allow for the pituitary to shrink up and not absorb moisture as it did when it was younger. And that way, when the pituitary starts shrinking up, it does not create as much growth hormones as it did before. And that is part of the genetic disorder. But then there is a mental disorder that helps you die. And believe it or not, the people that did the genome project, they figured that one out. And they said the mental disorder is, wait for it.
Yeah, what
is that? Religion.
Wait a minute. So what do you mean by that? You're saying the mental disorder that helps people die, that leads to people's death, is what we know as religion.
Yeah, let me qualify that one, because I think you lost a lot of people right now. Let me bring them back. When you get older and you start getting sick and you hurt everywhere, your knees don't work anymore, and you get, you know, pancreatic this and that, and you got headaches, and you start looking like you're about 104 years old by the time you're 80. Yeah. And then the religion tell you, don't worry about a thing, because when you get old, you're going to die and you're going to go to this better place. They're going to be wonderful. You're not going to have any pains anymore. You can be young. Yeah. When you get into your 80s and 90s and 100 years old, that place starts looking very good. And you start drawing, your mind start drawing yourself towards it. You may not think about it, but the subconscious reacts to that, start looking forward to that better place. And you start drawing yourself towards end of physical life so you can go to that better place. And that is the mental disorder.
Does that make sense? That does. Yes. Yeah, so this is interesting. Does that, I think heaven is certainly... heaven and hell come from this Judeo-Christian construction that people, that you're building up towards something. Could you say that, I feel that there are people that might not call themselves Jews, Christians, or Muslims that have some spiritual foundation that's, they these are the people, Augie, that call themselves spiritual, but still believe there's a place you go after they die. Yeah. Is it religion, or is it really this concept of life after death, heaven, that is drawing people there? What's the distinction?
I think it's religion and spirituality the same, because within spirituality too, most people have accepted that they're going to die and become, you know, a spiritual being where you don't have any pains anymore and so on. But the thing about it is that, let me explain why we can actually, by using epigenetics, we can shut off some of the bad genetic markers and turn on the good genetic markers by our environment and the way we think and so on. Here's a good example on that. I found some very old people. Back in the 1950s, there was a Chinese ambassador that came to New York on an exchange program. One evening, he went out with some colleagues, and they had dinner, and he got food poisoning and died. He ended up at the morgue, and they start going through his papers, and they said, something's wrong here. So they called the ambassador, and they told the ambassador that, you know, there's something wrong with this guy. According to his passport, he's 154 years old. That can't be. And the ambassador told them, yes, he is. And they asked him, how can that be? And the ambassador told them, first of all, he only eats Chinese herbs and berries. And for the second, he knew he could never die.
Oh.
See, there comes the mind into it again.
Yeah. What in the world are you training people? Are you teaching people how to know they'll never die?
It is actually fairly simple. No, I didn't say it was easy. I said it's simple. All you have to do is to condition your mind in ways that I write about very quite length, actually, in one of my books about spiritual science, higher conscious thinking, and how to access the universal consciousness. In there, I teach people how to use their mind in ways that you normally would think would be impossible. But it is very possible, because quantum mechanics has proven to us by repeatable experiments that we live in a mind-created universe. And if we use the mind to create a mindset that we are not aging, and then feed the body what it needs to have for raw material to rebuild itself, and then take the supplements that I do to reverse the aging process, and it's working for me, because I am doing exactly, well, as close as I could find it, the same thing as a man that I found that died from an accident at 256.
Wait, that's different than the Chinese guy?
Yeah, that's a different guy.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, Li Xingyuan in China. He died from an accident in, there was back in the 1938, 39, and the New York Times found out about it. So they had somebody in China at the time. So they sent him over to that village where he lived for an interview of his family. And they showed him paper where the government verified his age. And people in town there, they said that he was a martial arts instructor for the Chinese army, as well as an herbalist. And he died from an accident at 256. I found out what he did and found out what he ate. And I'm speaking about that in my book also. And I'm doing that, and it's working for me. I also found a Saudi that is actually alive right now. He is 152. And then there is several other people. I found a lady in Libya, I think it was. She was 191. But, you know, people don't, I mean, governments don't want to talk about this, because then people are going to ask, what did they do? What can I do to do what they did? Well, that's what I'm showing people how to do.
Yeah. What do you think the advantage of is? I've heard people before say that I don't want to live this long. I know my life. I know the life cycle. When I get to this age, it's going to be so difficult. I need to live a full life now and just keep going. What are you holding out for?
Chances are that by the time you get to this age, you may change your mind.
Oh, wait a minute. Augie, am I talking to a 270-year-old man right now? I mean, that's pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool.
I, in a few days, actually about a month, I will be 75, and I have more energy than anybody I know half my age. I don't look it anymore. 5 years ago, I started looking a little ragged. I don't have any gray hair, and I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I mean, you have a great spirit. You do look great. I've seen videos and photos and stuff. This is amazing. Are they going to try to take you out? Because you know,
I've watched myself fairly well. I won't do anything stupid. So let me tell you a little bit about what I do.
Yeah, please.
Because what I do, that is very much some of the same that Li Xingyuan did all the way to the age of 256. I do exercise. I do something called an exercise program called the Tibetan Rites. That's Rites is R-I-T-E-S. So this is, it keeps the body healthy. You'll never have back problems if you do those things. And it is probably one of the best. Now, the only thing about it is it doesn't give you enough cardio exercise. So I'm doing a little bit of exercise on that on the side. I added some things to it. And I also take some supplements, and I take a lot of supplements, actually, to, you know, minerals and so on. But the most important herb that these old people that I found, except for the guy in Saudi Arabia, I don't know anything about him. I just know that he was old. The ones from China, they are taking astragalus. That is the most important herb. And then the Augulan herb, which is called the immortality herb in China. Those two. There is a book also out there that explain that, written by doctors, that explain that taking astragalus in the large doses is just as effective as taking the pharmaceutical TA65 to reverse the aging process. There are there is actually a nutraceutical called TA65. And I have been studying that one and find a lot of these people that say, yeah, this works wonderful for me. And there are other people saying, I don't see a thing of difference.
Where do you get these?
If you go to Amazon or places, you can find TA-65. It'll set you back about $300 to $400 a month to do that. But I'm cheap, you know, so it cost me about $25 the way I'm doing it. But also another one, C60. That also is said to reverse the aging process. I know a lady in town here, and she is actually, she looks quite a bit younger than what she is. And she says it's working good for her. Then there are other people say that it doesn't really do much for them. But this is something that you got to do your own research on. I am using the herbs, and I tell you, I get emails about every week from people saying, I thank you for telling me about astragalus, because they start taking it in the large doses and age-related diseases go away. I mean, the you know, mental acuity may be a little questionable by the time you get older, but yeah, that comes back. And if you have age-related other diseases, it seems to go away. That's what the medical reports are saying when you start reading the research on this. I also eat ginseng, goji berries, and a few other things. And I talk about this in the book, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness.
Yeah, we'll link people to that for sure. This is a book I want to pick up, especially now that this connects to the higher conscious thinking and accessing something much broader than you.
Yeah.
What is, so you need that part too. You've got the supplements. What do you, I mean, could you take the supplements and not think universally consciously, I guess, or what happens when you add that part?
Well, first of all, I think it by taking the astragalus and the jiaogulan herb on its own, I think that would probably do the job, but not as complete as if you also add the mental direction with it, because this is reversing the aging process and becoming very old. It's not for everybody. Those people that say, well, I have a lifespan and I got to have a good life now because then I don't care to live anymore. Those are the people that really have nothing much to do or live for. If you have a mission, if you have a really mission for good and you enjoy so much what you're doing that you would do it even if you didn't get paid for it, why would you want to die at that point? Death should be coming when you want to. You could say, I've done everything I want to do right now. I'm ready for another experience. I want to go and start over again in a new reality. That should be the reason for somebody to terminate physical reality.
What is your mission, Augie?
Well, I'm doing part of it now. I have a bigger project that I have been working on for a while, and it's going to happen. So that's my mission. But for right now, I have probably more fun than I've had before. And I did have a lot of fun flying for 23 years and, you know, being a pilot. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I feel I mean, can you sum it up in this statement? I'm always looking at my bigger mission. I say it at the beginning of this show. I love challenging my beliefs with radically unique ideas. This comes from Robert Anton Wilson. You ever read his stuff? You must have. Maybe not. Okay. Well, he was popular. He used to write for Playboy magazine. He wrote the book Prometheus Rising. He was friends with Timothy Leary and kind of took a lot of his stuff and just reworked it, brought it out to the public. But he came up with the phrase guerrilla ontology. And it's all about, he wanted to throw people radically unique ideas to stimulate, to cause cognitive dissonance, so that people could have positive brain growth. Yeah. I'm just constantly throwing myself in that world. And I think it speaks to perhaps raising mine and other people's consciousness around these issues. That to me is a mission that compels me, expanding my consciousness. That's what I love doing. I live for it. Do you think, where are you in that process? Because you've done aliens, you've dealt with time travel, you're dealing with reversing aging. Is there something yet you still feel like you don't fully have? Is there a field you haven't even approached looking at yet that you want more answers to?
The problem is, I think the higher vibrations is where I want to do a little more exploration as astral traveler, and it's tough to get into the higher vibrations. It spits you out when you get it, because our vibration is not able to match with that environment, so that we get kind of repelled. But I am working on raising my vibration so that I will be able to get into the sixth and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth dimensions. Oh. And I want to do that before I terminate, you know, several hundred years from now, hopefully, physical existence. But on the other hand, this is a lifestyle change for people, and it's not for everybody, but look at it. And then ask yourself, what is my life's mission? You can ask that question, but don't just ask it. Ask it in the right way. And that you do while you are in meditation. Brainwave patterns slow down to about the bottom of the alpha range, about 7 cycles per second. And you do that maybe when you go to sleep. If you go to sleep and you're tired, keep saying over again and again, what is my life's mission? What is my life's vision? Say that over and over and over again as you fall asleep. What's gonna happen is that the subconscious is listening. And maybe that the subconscious say, okay, I'll take that as an order. And it starts rummaging around in memory somewhere, and it doesn't find it because it's probably not there. So it hands the question over to the superconscious mind, which is basically a connection device between the subconscious and the universal mind. So you get connected to the universal mind, and there where everything past, present, and future is there. So you will go out there, or should I say your conscious question, your conscious mind will go out there, find the answer, and bring it back to the superconscious mind, which hands it off to the subconscious mind. And then it lingers there until you wake up, and you may wake up with the answer or not. It could come 2 days later, a week later, you suddenly pop in saying, wow, I would love to do that. And you may never have thought about that before, but it just pops in. And listen to those subconscious messages that you get when you ask a question like that, because there may be something in it for you.
That okay. Thank you for that piece of advice, for sharing it with everybody, but also for me. I love that guidance. How has that worked for you? Have you had an experience? Is there an example you can think of where you did this practice and all of a sudden, boom, it came to you?
Yeah, that dates back decades. While I was still back in Europe, I grew up on a farm back there, and farming, it would have been a wonderful life, but it wasn't my thing. I had a forestry and a farm and a sawmill back there, but I didn't really, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't my passion. So I didn't even think of it this way. I always kept wondering, what should I do? What is my mission? Why am I here? What should I do? I kept asking all these questions all the time to myself. So I got put in a position where I was able to, a friend of mine was taking flying lessons, and I got to ride along in the back seat while he was up taking the lessons. And I got off the ground, I started looking around, and I says, wow, this is what I want to do. I want to be a pilot. And that's where we sold everything in Europe. And I came to the United States to go to flight school. And that's how my mission at the time was. But you're going to have probably more than one mission. That mission has ended for me, because I did a lot of good things with that. And I had wonderful times. Now it's a different mission. And maybe after that, there may be another mission again, because you expand on yourself and you grow into different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like in your journey, from what I have from your biography, you had hypnosis early on too, even before you... There's a magician that taught you hypnosis in Europe. Actually, you know what? I need to know that story. What in the world? How did you, and are we talking the stage magician? Was he doing hypnosis in a show and you just went up to him and asked how to learn? How does a teenager learn that?
I ran across a pamphlet that he had put out about how to do self-hypnosis. I read the pamphlet and I was intrigued. This was the magician's name was Tore Torell. And I think he died about a year or so ago. But he was about 10 years older than me. And I went to Oslo and I met with him and we kind of got along and we started talking. And I learned from him the tricks of the trade, so to speak, the dirty secrets about how to break down barriers in the subconscious to get to the real cause of problems and barriers and things that makes people's life miserable, and how to remove them. And it gets, I don't know, I'm not a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
And I do things a little different. But a hypnotherapist can do the same thing. They just do it a little more gently. And I know one, my co-host on the broadcast team, Alpha Show, is a hypnotherapist, and she's good at it. And in fact, on our broadcast team, alpha.com website, or on YouTube, you can scroll down into it. You'll find a video where she hypnotizes me and takes me back even to a time before I was born. And if you guys want to do something like that, talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Dirty secrets. Wait a minute. It sounds, I just, it makes me wonder, because a magician teaching hypnosis makes me think this guy probably did stage hypnosis.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a hypnotherapist doing more of a, okay, and as you close your eyes, go even deeper and da 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 da. What was this guy teaching you how to do? Was he doing wham bam instant sleep and drop into trance kind of stuff when you read Dirty Secrets? I mean, how violent did it get, quote unquote violent?
He got into a rapid induction, which is you distract the mind while you speak to it.
Yes.
And whatever you say, bypass the conscious mind and go directly into the subconscious mind and occupies it.
I love that stuff.
Your conscious mind is removed and you have no control anymore of your conscious mind and what's happening in the subconscious. And that's why I suggest before anybody do anything like this, make sure you record it. Maybe you just take your computer with you, turn the camera on and aim it right to where you are so that you're in the presence and everything is recorded. So you know afterwards when you run the tape, you know what happened.
Yeah, there are people out there manipulative.
Absolutely. And that's the danger of it.
Yeah. But it's nice. You seem good-hearted. I don't think you did any of it.
No, not really. But I would say a hypnotherapist can do these things. It's a little more gentle, and you will remember what was said. And it could take a few more minutes to get you down to that point where you can do these things, and you can get the same results.
Yeah. So you got into the mind stuff, and I know that even, and believe me, we're going to get back to why the universe is a construction and the matrix and all that stuff. But it seems that, yeah, you did change your mission a few times. You went and you were doing piloting, then you started pivoting to this paranormal research and oil painting and teaching mind development. I have to ask you about something very key. Zox Pro training. I've seen this before. I've seen it because I went down a rabbit hole for a while, Augie, of speed reading and specifically photo reading, which is Paul Sheely's company, Learning Strategies, which the guy, I believe, there's a whole controversy that Paul Sheely was in this guy's class in the 80s about speed reading and took fragments of that methodology and then created quote unquote photo reading. But Zox Pro training, which is similar kind of thing, using it's teaching your brain mental photography in a way, is the original. It's the source. And Zox Pro was I've seen internet courses still teaching this. How did you got into the accelerated learning stuff for a while? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Zox Pro training is the original training that shows you how to assimilate information out of a book at the rate of 50 to 100 or 150,000 words per minute with 95% retention. And what you do is that there's a special method of doing this, but you bypass the conscious mind. And when you turn pages, one page a second, actually two pages when you look into the middle of the book. So you turn them two pages a second and you bypass the conscious mind, put the information that your mind take a mental picture of the two pages and put it directly into long-term memory. So you bypass the conscious mind. And then when you're done with the book, you can actually turn it over and do it upside down. Doesn't matter. The mind turns it around. And then you do it one more time so you get the pages that you missed the first time. And then when you close the book up, you don't remember a thing. Except for when you start asking questions, then it works kind of like the conscious mind says, what was this person doing on this and that subject? And then the question goes into long-term memory and retrieves it.
This work for you? Did you do that? Did you have to learn this process first before you taught it? Do you do it now still?
Yeah, I traveled around the country a year teaching this, and I got very good at it. I read over 1,000 books that year. So I got really busy. I went to the library one time, I remember. I had a stack of about eight. I had the whole day there in that town for a class that evening. And I had about 8 or 10 books sitting on there, and I was going through them, and there was another guy sitting at the table not far from me. I know he was looking at me, and I just kept flipping through pages, you know, and he came over and he asked me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm reading." He just looked at me for a while, said nothing, turned around and walked away. He just couldn't comprehend that it is possible.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem possible to train for subconscious photographic memory. It seems like it's a gift you need to have. But
it's hey, a gift. Everybody has it. Everybody have this. Everybody can do it. If you understand the language, you can do it.
You were really into this. Human potential, I guess, is sort of the summarizing of all these things. Anti-aging, the brain being able to do things beyond what else it's able to do. And then you're doing astral travel and you get into time travel. Have you ever teleported yourself physically?
Teleported?
Do you want to?
What is your conception of teleported?
It's a good question. I mean, when I think of teleported, I mean, you are sitting here wherever you are recording this, and you can all of a sudden either you step into a machine and it takes you instantly, boom, transfers you to another physical location, or you're able to do like you see in Star Trek with the transporter. Close your eyes and then boom. Most people do the astral travel thing. And I get if that's your answer. Hey, look, I think that's miraculous.
Yeah, the ability to... that's technology. When it comes to the time travel part of it, it's just 25, a little more than that year ago. I have a little electronic device that I've had some very strange experiences with. And in fact, BBC Television, they found out about me and they came over to the United States to do a TV documentary on time travel. And they interviewed Michio Kaku and Green and another theoretical physicist and myself. And I demonstrated this electronic device on that video, and that was shown to over a billion people around the world in every English-speaking country by BBC Television. And later on, I discovered that some of the things that I have seen and I talked about in that video actually didn't happen, because I now have a better understanding of timelines. We are in a particular timeline here, but there are other timelines next to us that is very similar, but small variances, and there may be major variances. As an example of that, there's another timeline where Hillary won the presidential race in 2016, and that timeline is deep in World War III. So I'm glad I'm not in that one.
How do you know it is when you say that? Is that something you astral projected to or you remote viewed?
I've seen it, because this is something that I talk about in the book on spiritual science. You can go in and switch timeline if you condition your mind to do so. You can have, you find yourself in another timeline. And that is why I'm probably one of the very few people that have had pictorial evidence of time travel. And it's on one of my websites. If you want to go look at it, you can. Let's see, where is it? It's in the new website. I don't remember the page number, but in the old one, you can go to age-nust.com, go to into the picture gallery to page 8. And scroll down to the 7th row of pictures down. You'll find 2 pictures, kind of greenish in color. And the pictures are different. In one of them, there's leaves on the trees, and the other one is not. One of them have howling rain because the roads are really glistening wet, and the other one is perfectly dry. But it is taken at the same time.
Evidence of time travel. Wait a minute. This is this is intriguing. Is this because of your device? How'd you get these photos?
No, I don't use the device anymore. It's done with the mind. And in the back of the book about spiritual science here, I am explaining how to do this. And pretty much everybody can do this. It takes a little practice, but it can be done. Because you get a conditioned mind to accept. One of the things is knowing how to do it is one thing, but the mind have to accept that it's possible. Without it, probably nothing will happen. But once you start realizing that, wait a minute, we are living in a mind-created universe. So everything that is around me and in my universe is mind-created. So let me order my mind to create a different reality in a parallel timeline and show me what's in it. You know, there are ways to do this, and it gets a little involved, but once you understand how, then first of all, also you got to accept it, and you also have to have a why. Curiosity is not really just a good reason. There should be maybe a little more substantial reason than curiosity to go and look at these things. It also will help. If you have a reason that I want to see what's in the other timeline because I want to make sure we don't make the same mistakes. Now, that might be a reason that can give you a little more push towards actually being able to see it.
Why can't people stay there in that other timeline? Do they?
I think there is a safety valve in the universe that where the majority of your consciousness is, your consciousness is, when you move somewhere else, it snaps you back. I think there is something to bring you back home. There's that safety valve. That's the only way I can explain it.
I was going to say, yeah, because if some people have these powers, I would expect the psychics or astral travelers out there that are saying, yes, there are two timelines going on right now. Donald Trump won in this timeline and Joe Biden's in this one. If you can go there, wouldn't they prefer to stay in the one where the guy who they voted for actually won?
Well, Sleepy Joe didn't really win, though.
Well, that's, of course, that's what you get your psychics who were predicting Trump's win saying. They're saying, well, because it was a scam, a cheat, yes, yeah, Trump is the winner. And now they're two. Right. You believe that Donald Trump is still the president?
Well, the thing about it is that when he handed over with the insurrection, he handed it over to the military. So we have a military government right now. And it's proven because when Sleepy Joe asked the military, he asked for some military information about how many troops and so on is over in the Middle East. And they wrote him back and say, you don't need to know. So he is just sitting there. There is a purpose for his place in the White House and also in the movie studio where he is doing most of his talks from. But Trump is still the head of the military, but he has handed over the military control of the government to military government. So we are, give it 3 months and all of this will be explained to you.
What you're predicting? So wait a minute. And if this doesn't happen in 3 months, are you going to go, well, Greg, see, it's another timeline?
Well, you've seen
what's happening Trump, in 3 months.
I've seen Trump back in the White House and it didn't show when. So he'll be back.
When you say you've seen that, what does that mean? You close your eyes? Is it do you see visions?
That is in this timeline. I don't think it's a different one. I believe it's in this one. And in the back part of the book, it explains how I'm doing some of this. And I think that once people start looking at the facts, if quit watching CNN, then they're going to find some of the truth. Because the whole world has been buffaloed into believing that Joe won. You know, the man that is getting $50,000 to $75,000, people into an arena for a rally. And then the other guy can't get 100 people to his inauguration. And you think that guy won?
Everybody, listening, you'll have to decide yourselves. You'll have to decide. Look, okay. I this time travel thing is pretty wild. It's awesome that you have a book that goes into all of it. Can you at least tell me, how did you stumble across a time travel device?
I don't exactly know. It's kind of black boxed. So there was a guy that made it. Stephen Gibbs is the guy's name. He still makes them, actually. So if somebody wants one, they can search him out on the internet. Stephen Gibbs. He lives in Kansas. And he makes them. And there's a time coil. There is a very strong electromagnet that is used. And it creates a bubble around you, an electromagnetic bubble around you. And when I started out with this one, I couldn't get it to work. Nothing worked. I must have tried it, I don't know, 50 times or maybe more, I don't know. But when I started manipulating the brainwave pattern at the same time, I did it while I was meditating and concentrating on bringing the brainwave pattern down to about 7. There's supposed to 7.4 is a magic number, but 7 or so. That's when I started seeing things, and that's when things start happening for me. But without conditioning the mind the same way, I had nothing from that device. So the device is good, but it needs to, it's a mind matter interface type of machine.
Yeah.
It's a small thing, you know, it's just, you put it on your desk and you sit in front of it and that's all.
That's so cool that this guy exists. You know, I've interviewed Andy Bashago before, who is from Project Pegasus, and he was talking to me all about the 8 devices or the 8 forms of time travel that the U.S. military was exploring in the middle of the 20th century. They shut down Project Pegasus. And then I talked to Peter Moon on the show, who did the whole book series with Preston Nichols about Montauk and Albie Alec, Philadelphia Experiment. Do you, in your experience and your research with this kind of stuff, does all of that matter at all? The U.S., is that connected to any of this? Have you delved into the U.S. government exploration of traveling through time?
Not really, because they are using physical technology to do it.
You're more about the mind in this broader consciousness frame.
See, the physical technologies have limitations to it. The mind doesn't.
Oh. So the
physical devices that the government have worked out. In fact, on one of my websites, I have a little story that in the 1950s, Albert Einstein, he was involved in making a time travel device for the Vatican. And they actually created this thing, and they called it the Chronovisor.
Yes.
And that thing was real. Yeah, there is a priest that wrote about it, and there's others that actually talked about it. They say, yeah, this thing was real. So they did get it to work. And whether the mind was involved on that one or not, but the principles from quantum mechanics helped create this device.
And what an amazing part one of that interview that was. Yes, I'm going to leave you with an open loop. You see, that wasn't the end of this interview. There was so much jam-packed that we went another hour. And the next hour gets even crazier. You see, the rest of the interview, Augie explains the way the universe is actually a quantum simulation of the mind, and how you can manipulate the universe to manifest that which you want, given that it's a projection of consciousness. That's right. Next episode, we get into quantum mechanics. We also get into Augie's encounter with UFOs and aliens. And you better believe, he says there are aliens walking among us, and what you need to do to engage with them, how you know they're there. It's a very fun conversation. If you don't want to miss it, make sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you enjoyed this episode, again, any rating review could definitely help. Really appreciate it. The episode, the follow-up episode with Augie, is coming soon. I'm excited to share more.